This week, the Hawaii Tourism Authority is hosting its annual Global Tourism Summit. HPR is taking a closer look at the state of the industry in a series of reports and conversation guests we call Traveling Money, Managing Hawaii's Tourism Future. As part of that, we've been asking you for your thoughts about tourism, and our news director, Bill Dorman, is here with a midweek update. And, Bill, it seems as if there are a number of concerns surfacing about what's too much of a good thing, right?
No, exactly right. And just a reminder, by the way, that you can call and leave your comments on our talkback line, 792-8217, the number on that. You can email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org.
Yeah.
But those concerns about, yes, as you say, how much of a good thing. We've heard from a number of folks, and some of the thoughts similar to Annette, who called in from Kailua, with the idea that when it comes to visitors, how much is too much?
Aloha, my name is Annette Kaohelauli'i, and I'm calling from Kailua. I don't know if I'm going to be able to attend the tourism summit, but one of the questions that I think needs to be discussed is how many visitors can we tolerate before we destroy the resources? And there's nothing in the latest strategic plan for Hawaii Tourism Authority that even mentions carrying capacity. So I think those are serious issues, and there's a lot of people concerned about how many visitors we have, particularly on Oahu. So I think those are things that should be discussed. Mahalo.
So, you know, Annette uses a phrase that others talk about as well, this concept of carrying capacity.
Yeah.
And it is a concept that actually has been looked at, part of a report called Planning for Sustainable Tourism. This was done by DBED, Department of Business, Economic Development, and Tourism. Our thanks to Paul Brubaker of TZ Economics for pointing this out. It's a report that was published more than 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Work on this started more than 15 years ago. And it takes up the idea of carrying capacity and the difficulty of applying that to tourism. So it points out carrying capacity was developed as a wildlife management tool, how much livestock can fit in a certain area. And then in the 80s, they tried to apply this to environmentally sensitive areas.
Mm-hmm.
And this specifically looked at difficulties of applying that concept to tourism and three main reasons. One, areas in a region feel the pressures of visitor and resident growth differently. In Hawaii, even within individual counties, impacts of visitors and residents differ by location for different infrastructure and resource systems. Also, meant a lot of the pressures that build up on infrastructure, roads, beaches, et cetera, are mm-hmm. from population growth as a whole, not just visitors. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And third, very few hard constraints on visitor activity. So negative impacts of increased visitor activity, it's gradual pressure. It's more sort of that, the frog in the slowly boiling water. and that as this capacity constraints, as these pressures move from what they say annoyance to intolerable, it's not only a judgment call, it's also a moving target.
And we move in graded steps from annoyed to intolerant.
It's true. And even the phrasing around this whole discussion is, you know, take the word capacity.
Yeah.
What is capacity? You know, we hear figures every month from the HTA Dooley reporting in terms of visitor spending and in terms of hotel capacity in different situations. And so that's an occupancy rate. And that's one measure, but and a lot of times you will hear that given as well. There's room for more. There's room for more at the end. That's one measure, but that doesn't tell you about traffic on the road, hikers on the trail, and short-term vacation rentals. Those aren't even figured in terms of hotel occupancy. So that eye to the future has been of concern to another listener who called in. Kathy called in from Lahaina with this perspective.
Aloha, this is Kathy Corcoran calling from Lahaina on Maui. And I'd like to say that I think the tourist industry has been very irresponsible in promoting tourism because it's been promoted at the expense of the environment and at the expense of cultural traditions. It has brought too many people to Hawaii staying in vacation rentals instead of hotels. And that, of course, means there's less rooms, less residences available for the local people. Thank you. Aloha.
Now, to be clear, tourism is the biggest industry in the state. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest source of private capital there is for Hawaii. It's a huge source of tax revenue. No one is saying shut down the planes, you know, chase people away. But a lot of the focus here is on managing future growth.
Well, there's also, just to throw something else into the mix, Bill, we talked with Mike White, who's at once a general manager of a large resort and chair of the Maui County Council. And he spoke of, and this is something that has to be part of, I think, any discussion of the visitor industry. He spoke of the fragility of the visitor industry. And we've seen, you know, rapid, and other destinations have seen rapid downturns because of a sudden change in perception. You know, after the Gulf War, Japanese didn't want to come here because we were, you know, a nation at war, and the visitor industry struggled to you know, say no, please, you know, you're welcome. It's not, you know, but in Japanese culture, it was respectful to stay away from a nation in perception of a nation in conflict. So, but you know, that was an unforeseen byproduct of a far-off conflict. Really didn't affect Hawaii on the ground at all, but it rapidly and radically changed tourism for quite a while. We don't always see those things coming is the point I'm making.
That's true. There's an unpredictable nature to this. The World Tourism Organization, and actually World Bank and IMF, do a lot of work in the tourism area because they see this as a long-term economic growth. It makes sense if you think about it as economies become more mature, then the ability, Maslow's hierarchy, as you sort of move up there, it's not just about shelter and food. Oh, let me travel. Let me have, I have leisure time. I have more income. Growing middle class. And also more moneyed than that, because Hawaii is not a middle class destination in a lot of ways. It's a high end, it's an expensive ticket, and it's an expensive stay. But that idea, in terms of as economies grow, so does tourism globally. But then what is Hawaii within that? Again, managing the future.
Well, you know, Hawaii, it is no longer a middle-class visitor destination, but a lot of its growth during its greatest period of growth came from exactly that, you know, that it was made into an affordable destination for the middle class when air travel, you know, began to come to the islands. It were, you know, certainly during the 70s and 80s, there were all these packages you could get with, you know, 2 weeks in a car and a place in Waikiki. And it, you know, a lot of effort was made into creating an affordable vacation destination.
Affordability, I think, relative, you know, updated information now. So $16.8 billion in spending this year, 9.2 million visitors. This is projected for 2017, which would be the sixth year in a row, records both categories. DBED says more growth in 2018. Projections, of course, notoriously difficult as you go out. But 19 and 20, they say still more growth, about 68% of that coming from domestic travel.
You have to go back to that, what that first recorded caller said, you know, if she has never heard carrying capacity addressed as part of our planning.
But it's interesting, too, because a lot of these concepts come up, and we have looked at this. We have put in this was done, but this report that I mentioned before from DBED, and we're going to put this up on our website because it's fascinating. It's 93 pages. But the 2001 legislature secured funds to begin looking how Hawaii can better monitor and manage future growth in tourism, the Sustainable Tourism Project. Just a couple of other items from that. Tourism continues to be the state's dominant industry. And as they say, given this dependence, the incomes of all Hawaii residents tied more or less to the visitor industry. That's interesting. But not necessarily all sectors grow with tourism. Agriculture in particular at that point is a plantation agriculture, but agriculture generally does not move up in lockstep with tourism. A lot of interesting points. We're going to come back, of course, to a lot of this. Paul Brubaker is going to be in on Friday, a chance for you, our listeners, to call in live on the program. Jeff Boland also is going to be on the line with us. He's the CEO of Sustainable Travel International, featured speaker this week at HTA's Global Tourism Summit. And in the meantime, if you want to give us a call, 792-8217. Love to hear your mana'o on tourism.
Yeah, it's good to. This is obviously a discussion that resonates with a great many people. So we'll look to see what people say when they call in. I hope we hear from some people. Thanks, Bill.
You bet.
Bill Dorman is HPR's news director.